You know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope." And it's my pleasure to be able to stand and share with you all a little bit about what my life has been like and what God has done in my life and how He's been able to fulfill that verse for me. Some of the things that have occurred, how He ended up leading me to OU, and just how God has worked in my life. And my hope is that God will really be able to minister to you, that you'll be able to see some likenesses in some of the things that God has done in my life, and that you'll be able to learn from some of those things as well. This story began in December 1964 when a 15-year-old girl gave birth to myself. My mother was 14 when she was pregnant with me. I was born in Birmingham, Alabama, during the height of the Civil Rights Movement. And I was born there. I was in the hospital for about 6 months when I was born. And it was a real tenuous situation, not knowing whether I would live or not. I came home, and I lived with my grandmother. And my grandmother raised me for the first 3 years of my life. It's funny, but I don't know how many of you all remember things from that period of your time, but I do. I actually have memories of that time. And one of the memories I have was when I was 3 years old, I was out playing in the yard, and this lady drove up in a cab. And she came up, and she grabbed me, and she hugged me, and I'm just, who is this lady? It turned out it was my mother. I had lived with my grandmother, and I had no idea who my mother was. My mother had left and gone to Detroit, Michigan with my father. She came back. She was about 18 years old at the time. She came back, and the next thing I know, I was whisked away to Detroit, Michigan with her. I don't have a lot of memories of that time. I spent that time up there until I was about 7 years old. And for a number of reasons, I don't remember a whole lot of what occurred there. The things I do remember are pretty traumatic. And there are things that many times I wish that I didn't remember. My father was a very, very angry man. I think in many ways he sort of had a lot of resentment toward me because somehow he felt that I was the cause of a lot of the despair in his life. He was only 2 years older than my mother, and he didn't get a chance to go to college and a lot of things like that. And it seemed that for some reason he felt like if my mom hadn't gotten pregnant with me, then those things wouldn't have turned out that way. So I grew up with a lot of resentment aimed toward me by him. He was very abusive, and it was a very difficult situation. In many ways, I think I reminded him of a lot of things that he wished that he was. He was always a very slow reader. In fact, my father couldn't read at this time. And I could read when I was 4 years old. And he was very athletic, and I was a very sickly sort of kid. And he was real tough and strong and really a man's man. He was a football player and that sort of thing. And I was very sensitive, and I would cry about just about anything. I think that in some ways he really admired some of the qualities I have had, but in other ways he resented that I had some of the things that he didn't have. The situation was such that I spent a lot of time receiving the abuse that he didn't know where else to aim. We lived in that situation, and I lived up there with my parents until I was about seven. And my father got in trouble with the law and that sort of thing, and we moved back down to Birmingham, Alabama. And I was fortunate enough to live with my grandmother again. And when I look back on that time, that was in many ways the happiest period of my life. I lived there, and there was no concerns on my part about whether I would have food to eat or whether my father was going to come in raging and he was going to be out of control. I felt very secure and very loved, and that was a good time for me. My biggest worries was the bully at school and getting my homework done and the sorts of things that I think kids are supposed to worry about. And again, I stayed there with my grandmother for about 9 months, my brother was there as well. And one day in August, same sort of thing. My grandmother called us in, and we were outside playing with the other kids, and she called us into her room. And she said, "Rodney, I need to tell you that your mom called today, and they're going to be over to pick you up this afternoon, and you're going to go live with them. And I remember just crying, just not wanting to go, because everything I'd experienced with them so far had been things that I really wished that I could forget. They showed up that day, and I remember us loading our stuff in the car driving away and waving at my grandmother out of the back window as tears streamed down my face. And as I left that time, I went to live with my parents, and life got more difficult than I had ever thought that it could be. We moved around a lot. I went to 5 different schools in 1 year because we kept getting evicted from our houses. Things just continued to seem like they were just, my life was just in a real sense of sort of turmoil. I had always excelled in school, so I did well in school, even in spite of the fact that I was in a different school every month, practically. Things just kind of continued that way until 2 significant things happened when I was 10 years old. The 2 significant things were, one is I got a job, and the second is that I came to know the Lord. And what happened was this. I came home from school one day. At this time, we were living in a 3-room house, not 3 bedrooms, 3 rooms. There's a living room, a bedroom, and a kitchen. And they call these things shotgun houses because you could, you know, point a shotgun through one end and stick it out the other. Anyway, at this time, I had a brother, 3 sisters, my mom and dad, an aunt, and her 2 daughters. And there were 10 of us living in this house. I came home from school that day, and my mom was sitting in the kitchen, and she's crying. And I asked her what's wrong, and she said there's nothing here to eat at all. She had lost her job. My mom had worked as a waitress, but she was continually losing her jobs because my father would go on her job and he'd flare up and, you know, hit her or someone else, and then she was automatically fired. And she had lost her job as a waitress, and we had nothing to eat. And I remember I opened up the cupboards, and I opened every cupboard in the kitchen, and the only thing in our kitchen was a box of salt. That's the only thing there. And I thought, well, I'm going to do something about this. So I went out and I decided I was going to try to find a job. And so I went looking, and I looked and looked, and, you know, it's really rare that people will hire a 10-year-old kid. So I didn't get a job. But I was coming back home that night. It was about 10:30, and there was a store not far from where we lived, a little neighborhood supermarket. And in the doorway of the store, the people who delivered the bread had brought this bread and rolled it in on racks and just put it right in the doorway so that when the store owner came the next morning at 5 or whatever, he could just roll it in and they would sell it. So I came back, and I was on my way back, and there's this bread there. So I stole 2 loaves of this bread off of this rack, and I took it home, and that night that's what we had for dinner. We had bread and water. I had no idea anything about who God was at that time. I thought that baby Jesus and Santa Claus were the same person, that baby Jesus grew up to be Santa Claus, and that's why we celebrated them on the same day. I was very ignorant when it came to things about Christianity, Christ, or God, or church, or any of this sort of stuff, but yet I knew that that wasn't right. So the next day I went back to the store, and I told the guy at the store, I said, you know, last night I stole 2 loaves of bread off of your rack, and I don't have any money to pay for it, but if you let me work for you today, then you can take the money that you would have paid me and reimburse yourself. And he said, okay, and he let me do that. I didn't know at the time that this guy was a Christian, but he was. He let me work for him that day. I got done, and I walked out the store, and I'm going home. And again, we don't have anything to eat this day. And he called me back, and he said, hey, and he paid me anyway. And he said, you can come back and work for me tomorrow. So I started working at that store, and that was a really good thing for me because we were in the ghetto. We didn't have a whole lot of options, and the only other option I think I would have had at that time would have been to continue stealing things. I was fortunate that God was there guiding and making making a way for me even at that time. I started to work at this store, and one day I was back there working with a man, and we were just putting price tags on flour and just putting it on the shelf. And he started to ask me about Christ, and to ask me if I'd ever heard of Jesus. And I said, "You mean the baby?" And he said, "Yeah, the man too. Have you ever heard of the man?" And I had never heard of a man, Jesus, the Christ. He started to explain this stuff to me, and started to explain to me that Jesus had come, and that he was not only a baby, that he had grown up to be an adult, a man, who had been a savior, and who had come in order that he could make right many of the injustices that had been done against people like me. And he said, what I needed to do was be willing to receive Jesus into my heart. And he asked me, is that something that you'd want to do? And I said, yes. And the very first time I heard anything about this, I had a sense that it was right. And he was a little surprised. So he said, okay, well, if you're going to do it, you've got to pray out loud. And I said, okay. And he said, okay, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to do it right here, you know, in the store, on the second aisle. And I said, okay. And he said, all right, we're going to get down on our knees. And you're going to repeat after me as loud as you can. And so that's what we did. I got down on our knees in this supermarket. And he said, now say Lord Jesus. And I said, Lord Jesus. And he's like, I need you, I need you. And I just went through this whole prayer. And I yelled this thing out, you know, in this supermarket. And people were going up and down the aisles, and they were looking at me, and I'm on the floor there. And but it was important to him that he know that I was sincere, because this is the first time I've ever heard anything like this in my life. And here I am going, yeah, I want to commit my life over to Jesus for the rest of my life. And so he did that, and I did it. And I gave my life to Christ, and some things begin to really change. I really feel that the Lord ordained that to happen. The Lord honored some choices that I had made up into that time. I started working at this store from then on, and I was making $10 a week, and that was enough to buy breakfast and dinner for my sisters and my brother and my family. And so we lived on my salary there for a while. I went home after coming to know the Lord, and I immediately told my family and the people in the neighborhood, and I'd have these Bible studies on my back porch at 3:30 in the afternoon. And I just really believed that God was God, and so I started living like it. My family received the Lord, and all these changes started occurring in my life and in my family, and I thought, man, this is great. And that thing seemed to be great for about 6 months. I got involved in a great church. A guy started discipling me and started teaching me about having a quiet time and memorizing scripture and stuff like that when I was 10 years old. And I started doing it. And things were kind of progressing in this great state. Then all of a sudden things seemed to kind of start to go bad. And my father just basically decided that Christianity was not for him any longer. And he reverted back to the way he had been before he ever accepted the Lord, and that really damaged my faith. My mother began to do the same sorts of things. They began drinking again. They began manipulating me and using me to meet their needs and to provide for the family. The guy at the church who had been discipling me turned out to be a child molester. And so I really felt like there wasn't a whole lot of choices I had at that time. It was a difficult period of time for me. To add to all of that, I now had this newfound responsibility of kind of being the parent in our home. I brought home the money that bought the food and that paid the bills. I helped my sisters study and did their homework. I washed their clothes and cooked the meals and just all this stuff from the time I was about 11 on. And the pressure of all of that was enormous. And I found that what I did in order to deal with these feelings was to just stuff that stuff away so that I didn't have to face it. And I think that's how I managed to survive that stuff. And I continued to plod along doing the things that I knew to do, which were right. But the time came when I was finally going to be able to go away to college. And man, was I excited. Because I felt like I'd had this weight on my shoulders for so many years and I couldn't wait to get rid of it. It's funny because most people go away to college and they want to have more responsibility. You know, they want to be in charge of their own lives. And I had been in charge of my own life for quite some time. I just didn't want to be in charge of anyone else's. I went off to college. And in the process, I was trying to figure out, what do I do? Where do I go? And again, it was just by the intervention of the Lord. Even as Scott said, I could really relate to that, that I ended up at the University of Oklahoma. I knew when it was time for me to go to college that I was going to have to go somewhere where I had a scholarship. There was no way I was going to be able to go to school without that. And even then, I would have to work. And I knew something else. I knew I wanted to go far enough away from home that my family couldn't visit me and they wouldn't expect for me to visit them. So those were my criterion. And I just started thinking, okay, where can I go? And basically, just like pulling the name out of a hat, I just thought, well, I'm a little afraid that if I go to California, I'll get too involved in wild things and I won't walk with the Lord, so I won't go there. And I thought, well, I don't want to go really far up north because I don't want it to be cold 6 months out of the year, so I won't go there. So I crossed off the old top half of the United States. And I said, okay, I thought, man, maybe I'll go to, I don't know, Oklahoma or Kansas or something. You never hear anything bad about those places. And that was really what I thought. I went to the counselor and I said, I'd like to send, you know, my test scores to some schools in Kansas and Oklahoma and in those places. And she said, what school? And I said, I don't know. What schools do they have there? And so she said, so she picked out a few schools. She said, what about the University of Oklahoma and this and that? And I sent my scores and I sent this stuff and sent this information, and it turns out that I got both an academic scholarship and a track scholarship from the University of Oklahoma. So a month later, I was on the bus to Oklahoma. I'd never been there. I'd never been east or west of the Mississippi. And didn't know anyone. I left with three suitcases, a sack lunch, and a pillow on this bus. And $50. And I really wasn't sure what I would encounter or what it would be like, but man, I really had a sense that that's where I needed to be and that's where I needed to go. I remember getting to Norman, Oklahoma, and I didn't know where the University of Oklahoma was or anything. I went to this little, they let me off at this little bus station there up on Main Street. And I was there, and by this time I had about $35. I didn't know if I would have housing when I got there or what things would be like. So I get a cab, and this cab driver, this was one of my unfortunate experiences. This cab driver, he said, where do you want to go? And I said, I want to go to the University of Oklahoma. And he said, okay, you know, where do you want to go at the University of Oklahoma? That's kind of a big place. And I said, I don't really know. And he said, well, how about Walker Tower? And I said, That sounds good to me. Walker Tower sounds good. So we get in this cab, and we're driving. And we're just driving and driving and driving. And for like 30 minutes, you know. And so finally, you know, we get to the University of Oklahoma, and I'm thinking, man, this place must be pretty far out there. So we get there, and the bill is like $15. You know, for this cab, and I've only got $35. So I give him $15, I've got about $20 left. And it was 2 years later before I found out that the bus station is really like a mile and a half, you know, away from the university. And it wasn't very far at all, but I had been all over the place, and I was very grateful. I said thanks to this guy. Anyway, I get out and I've got all my suitcases and stuff sitting there, and it's during the orientation period. people are buzzing all over the place and their parents and stuff, and I have no idea what any of these buildings are or anything, and or where do I go or what do I do or anything. And finally, I grabbed one of those people who have those little New Sooner shirts or whatever they are, and they showed me where to go. It turned out I didn't have any housing. I had to stay in Walker Tower on the second floor. They had some guest housing there, and I stayed there for $2 a night for the first 4 nights. My money's whittling away now, you know. I've got about $10. And I just didn't really know how this whole thing was going to turn out. But it turned out that I did get housing, and I did get my scholarships, and I was kind of on my way. I finally got my housing, and I was over in Cross Center. So, which, as bad as it sounds, turned out to be a real act of God for me. So I had my 3 suitcases and my pillow, and I'm walking from Walker Tower over to Cross Center. And as I'm walking, I run into these 2 guys. And these 2 guys were both RAs over in Cross Center, and one of them was my RA, and he also happened to be the guy who was working with the freshman ministry team at the BSU at that time. And they said, "Hey, you need some help?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." And so they helped me, and they grabbed me, took my stuff over there, and got me situated. Found out this guy was my RA. His name was Dennis Hare. This guy immediately started to spend some time with me, and I got involved on freshman ministry team just from the day one. I came feeling like I really needed to give my life over to some things that God wanted me to do. So I began to do that immediately. As I got involved in at the University of Oklahoma, God began to do some things in my life, and some changes began to be made. You know, on that bus, one of the things that happened to me on that bus ride out is I sat down on that bus, and as I slid into that seat and that bus pulled out of that terminal, I just breathed this huge sigh of relief. And I just sat there with my head against the window for about 2 hours and just thought of all the things that I didn't have to do anymore. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to decide that that didn't happen. None of it. The last 16 years, it just didn't happen. And I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to pretend that I grew up just like everybody else on the Brady Bunch, and I'm going to be normal, and I am not going to admit that any of this stuff happened. I'm just going to start over brand new. And that's what I did. So I came to the University of Oklahoma with that sort of a mentality. I was fortunate enough to run into a bunch of people who really cared about me and began to minister to me and to help me to ground my life in some solid principles along the lines of the scripture and begin to make a difference for me. I spent the time there, and the time was really good for me. The Lord really worked some things out in my life. And I think a lot of it had to do with some decisions I made. I feel like while I was there, I made some good decisions. I also feel like if I had to do it all over again, I'd make some different ones as well. And what I wanted to share with you all briefly was to share some things that I feel like I did well and that I'm glad I did, and to share some things that if I had to do it over again, then I'd do differently. I think the first thing that I feel like I did well is that I took school seriously. I was there to be a student, and I was very determined to do well because I felt like that was the only way I'd ever be able to get out of the situation that I grew up in. If I didn't do well in school, then I wouldn't have the opportunities to advance in the workforce and that sort of thing. So I really committed myself to doing well. And you know, I believe that that's important because even in Colossians 3:23, it says that whatever our work is that we need to do, that we have to do, do it as unto the Lord. And when you're a student, that's your work. That was my work. And so I committed myself to trying to do my work well. And I was fortunate. I made good grades and things went well for me. And I'm glad I did that. I'm glad that I didn't spend all of my time driving down to Dallas on some midnight run to eat at Denny's or something down there like a lot of my friends did. That I really did try to take school seriously. And I really feel that not only did that give me good grades, but that gave me some good habits that have stuck with me after I was gone. I think secondly is that I made the commitment to stick it out at the BSU. From From day one, that was something that I did. I thought back to that verse in Joshua 24:15, where he was talking to the people of Israel, and he said to them, you know, you guys are going to have to choose who you're going to serve. But I can tell you that me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that was a decision that I had to make, and that many of you all are going to have to make. And I decided that early on, before I even got on the official freshman ministry team, I had decided that I am going to serve the Lord, and that I'm going to commit my time here to learning all that I can about that. It didn't take me long being around people from there to realize that they had a lot to offer and to realize that I had a lot of need. And so I began to want to learn. I had a lot to learn in a number of ways. I had a lot to learn spiritually. I felt like I was socially backward. I grew up in a situation where all I did was go to school or work. I never related to friends very much. I didn't have time. My daily routine went something like this. I'd get up in the morning, get my sisters ready for school, iron their clothes, get them ready. I'd take them to school. I'd go to school. After school, I'd go by, pick my sisters up, take them to the daycare center. I'd leave them at the daycare center. I'd go to work. After work, I'd buy some food. I'd go home, walk home, pick up my sisters, take them home, start cooking dinner, wash out their clothes in the tub so that they can have something clean to wear at school the next day. Give them a bath, comb their hair, put them to bed, then I'd do my homework. After I'd do my homework, I'd go to bed, I'd get up the next morning, iron their clothes, get them ready, take them to school, go to school, the same thing. That was how I lived. That was my routine. So going to college was a whole new experience for me. It's like, talk about free time. And it was also an experience for me to just have time to actually relate to people who were my peers, to be able to spend time with them and to have fun and to relax and to learn how to do some things just even on a social level. So I was grateful for that. When we grew up, we didn't have very much to eat. Many times we had rice for breakfast and beans for dinner, and that was it. And so when everybody else was complaining about the cafeteria food, I was just like, what, are you crazy? I can't believe this. There's all this food. You can eat anything you want, as much as you want. And it was just the whole thing of going to college was a big culture shock for me. You know, it was something totally different than I had ever seen before. And I found that being involved there helped me to learn to work through some things. And I'm really glad that I made that choice. I had to make some choices in its favor, though, in the favor of being at the BSU. I had to decide there were things I wasn't going to do, things I wasn't going to do with my time, in order to commit myself to being at freshman ministry team each Tuesday night or going to my Bible study on Wednesday nights or whatever. In order to do some things, you've got to make choices to not do other things. And I think that comes from an initial choice to decide what's important to you. A third thing is that I took advantage of the opportunities I have. Ephesians 5:15 and 16 talks about the fact that we need to make the most of every opportunity. Many of you all, whether you're involved at OU or Emporia State or wherever it is, you've got some opportunities. There are things that you can do. There are things that you can learn. I tried to go to these retreats that we had. I tried to go to Glen Eyrie. I tried to do things like that, go on summer mission trips and things that to take advantage of the opportunities I had, because there are a lot of students at a lot of places that didn't have the opportunities that I was afforded being where I was. And I think I was fortunate enough to realize that while I was there. I think fourth is that I'm glad that I really wanted to have a ministry while I was there. And so I committed myself to really trying to do some things to help me to have a ministry. I wanted to see people come to Christ, and I wanted to see lives change the same way that I had experienced my life being changed. And that was something that was important to me. So I made time for that. I put energy and prayer and effort into that. And the fifth thing is that I'm really glad that I sought the counsel of others on decisions that I was making. Proverbs 19:20 says, "Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days." And I was fortunate enough to understand that I'm going to need help making some decisions. So I tried to go to people like Max and Dave Edwards and other people who were on staff and tried to get some advice and some input about what I should do. And I really think that they steered me clear of a lot of wrong decisions. And that's something that I'm glad that I did while I was in college. But as I said before, not everything I did was great. You know, not all the decisions I made are ones that I'm glad that I made. And if I had it to do all over again, I'd do some things differently as well. And I spent some time thinking about that. And the first thing I think I would do differently if I had to do college all over again is one thing is that I'd be more honest. I would just be flat out more honest. I told you all that on that bus, I decided I'm going to pretend that that stuff didn't happen. I'm going to pretend that the last 16 years of my life didn't exist. And there are some real dangers in that because there are issues that need to be dealt with. And when we don't admit them, they don't get dealt with. And I don't know what your issues are, and your story may not be as dramatic as mine, but I'm sure there are things. There are things that you and the Lord need to be able to work through. And I spent a lot of my time elaborately covering up the way that I'd grown up. And most of college, I didn't tell anybody what my life had really been like. The staff, nobody. And I kind of really thought that if I ignored that stuff, or if I pretended like it wasn't there, it would go away. But you know what? It didn't. And right now, to this day, I'm finally beginning to work through some things that it would have been great if I would have started when I was at the University of Oklahoma. But that's one thing I would do, is that I would be more honest. I would quit pretending and quit trying to cover up my issues. Ephesians 4:25 talks about that, learning to speak the truth to one another. James 5:16 talks about the importance of us being able to confess our sins to one another and to pray for one another. There are things that I gave my testimony when I was at the University of Oklahoma, but I never said a word about any of the stuff that I said to you all this morning. That was stuff that I wasn't going to admit. Those are things that I wasn't going to tell anybody. And I would encourage you all to not do that. You're doing yourself a disservice if you do. God wants to help you to begin to deal with some things in your life. And I think the first step is acknowledgement. I think if I had to do it again, I would also value relationships more importantly than I did. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10 talks about the fact that two are better than one. There's a teamship that occurs there. And man, me and a lot of the guys that were my contemporaries, we were so busy trying to prove ourselves and have our own ministries that we were kind of rebellious, in a sense, to our leader. We made it really difficult for our leader to kind of help us to be a team. You know, we didn't want to spend our time sitting around just fellowshipping or doing that sort of stuff when we could be out there, you know, in the dorms evangelizing or something, you know. And so we didn't place a whole lot of importance on relationships that were going to be replenishing, that were going to hold us accountable. We didn't do a whole lot to help to make those things be that way. We were more important in making an impact, you know, and that's what we were doing. And I think that's great, and like I said, I'm glad that I did that, you know. But I wish that I hadn't done it to the exclusion of really getting some people who were able to get into my life. One of the reasons I did that, though, is I made myself so busy with ministry and with school and with track and with all the other things that I was doing, because it kept people from getting close enough to me to see some of the issues that I really need to deal with. And anybody can look good from far away. It's when people start to examine you up close that they start to see some things and call you on some issues. So I kind of skirted that by avoiding real close relationships. And that's something I would do differently, because you all have opportunities to do that with some people who will care for you, understand you, who will on occasion rebuke you when you need it, but will really be there to help you. And I think that would have helped me to establish some new patterns of relating. And thirdly, I think I would adjust my values. I got to college, and the things that I wanted to walk with God, but I was also very aware of the fact that I wanted to have money. And more importantly, it was a big deal for me that I didn't have any money to buy clothes, but if I did, I would have bought them. I would have bought lots of them. And I, because I wanted to look as nice as the the other guys that I saw walking around around school. And material things were really important to me. And I didn't have a whole lot of them, but I sure spent a lot of my energy wishing that I did. Not only were material things important to me, but popularity was very important to me. I wanted to be known. I was on the track team, so that helped, because athletes, for some reason, people think they're a little bit more than human, and they're not at all. I know you ran, and you know, that sort of thing. And that it was important to me to be known. Somehow I felt like that would make me better. That would make me okay. If I looked right and if people knew who I was. Since then I found that that doesn't really matter one bit. That doesn't make any difference. And if I had to do this all over again, I take some of that energy I put into that, and I put into working through some issues in my own life, and I put into living for the cause of Christ, because I've come to understand that that's really what's important. And I would put more energy into trying to please God than into trying to please people. I was thinking about Matthew 6:19-20. When I was thinking about that idea, and just how Jesus told those guys to not lay up for themselves treasures on earth. And that's what that stuff is. That's really what it is. You know, to wear a polo shirt, what is that? And what does that mean? But to learn to lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, that's a whole different idea. And if I had it to do over, I'd do that. And the fourth thing is that if I had to do this stuff all over again, I would really try to receive from the staff in a way that I didn't do when I was at the University of Oklahoma. Now, what I mean is I don't mean just receive input from the staff or advice, or if they decide they want to rebuke you, you know, to receive that and to be humble and teachable and, you know, all that stuff. I mean, I think I've managed to do most of that. But there's a verse in 1 Thessalonians where Paul was talking, he was writing to those people. And he says, "Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." And you know, because of some of the things that had happened to me, I didn't have a lot of trust for people. I didn't trust anybody to get too close to my life, because I felt like if they were saying something good about me, it was just to set me up because they were going to try to use me in some way. I didn't have a whole lot of trust for anybody. And so when I went to the BSU, I was like, I want to learn everything that you guys have got to teach me, but I don't want you to get too close to my life. And I don't want to be receiving your heart. You know, I want to receive your input and your knowledge and your training. But don't try to give your life to me. You know? Because I don't trust you enough. If I start depending on you, if I start accepting you and opening up my heart to you, you're going to abuse me. And I know that. I've had years of experience with that. So I didn't allow that to happen. I didn't allow the staff to give their heart to me. I made it very, very difficult. They were persistent. But I wouldn't allow that. And I would encourage you all to do that. There are people who really do want to love you. They want to do more than just impart you some wisdom and show you how to memorize a few verses. But they really do want to love you. And I would encourage you to allow them to do that. I think about this stuff and I think, you know, man, I'm really glad that the Lord led me to the University of Oklahoma. Because it took someone like me who had been through the things that I had gone through, and it began to make a difference in my life and transform me, or began to make a transformation from inside out to help me to be what God wanted me to be. And what I would hope by sharing some of this stuff with you all is, as I said before, your story may not have as much drama, you may not have gone through some same sorts of things, But many of you guys have felt some of the things that I felt. Many of you have felt inadequate at times, felt like you just didn't measure up, or whatever the issues are. There are things that you've felt. And what I would hope is that you'd be able to see that God really can take a life, no matter what's gone on in it, and He can transform it into something better. And that's to His glory. And I'm encouraged about that. I would want to leave you with a couple of things. One is an encouragement. The encouragement is that God can help you wherever you are, whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever is going on in your life, it is not so bad that God can't deal with it. And you don't have to hide it. God is able, and He is capable, and He wants to work in your life. And I would encourage you to begin to accept that, because that's important. But I not only want to encourage you, I want to challenge you. And why I want to challenge you is because of the fact that God will work with you in the choices you make. He is not going to just blast Himself into your life and say, okay, you're changing right now. This is it. I'm sick of you and your nonsense. He doesn't work that way. He will work with you in the midst of the choices you make. I'm really glad that I made a choice to go back to that grocery store and to tell that guy that I stole his bread. Because God worked in that choice. And I was able to establish a personal relationship with Him. I'm really glad for the choices that I made, because God has been able to work through those. I'm glad that I made a lot of good choices when I was at the University of Oklahoma, because God was able to work through those. And I want to challenge you to realize the fact that your choices, the things that you choose to do, are going to have some impact on the degree to which God is going to make progress in your life. He desperately wants to do that. He wants to make changes in you. He wants to help you to become what He wants you to be and what you want Him to be. But you've got some say in that. And He'll work with you with whatever choices you decide to make. And so the challenge is this. Are you making choices that are going to enable God to work fully in your life? Or are you making choices that are hindering that? Wherever it is that you are, it's important to realize that God wants to make a difference in you. But He's going to do that in cooperation with you. Let's pray. Father, sometimes it's really hard to understand why You allow certain things to happen. But the neat thing is to see how You take those things and You use them for Your glory and for our benefit. Because we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And Father, I ask that even as we are praying now, that You will enable us to investigate our hearts and to ask ourselves, what kind of choices are we making today? Father, I pray that You'll bring conviction to us in the ways that we are not making choices that give You free rein to make the changes that You want to make and that we want You to make. Help us to learn to live fully for You. In Jesus' name.